This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Khanna sitting with Noel Lim and Lynn Mark in the studio this morning. Sorry, I switched out the names and seemed to forget your name there, Lynn.
How could you? I'm so hurt.
Now, you know, today is the anniversary of Lanka Sheraton and the fall of the Pakatan Harapan government. And in that vein, we are asking you on Twitter, what political reforms do we most need to prevent another Lanka Sheraton? Lynn, what are the results at present?
Well, the poll's only been open for about 15 minutes. So we've got 43 votes so far, and 65% have voted for anti-hopping law as the option. Another 9% said political funding law. 7% voted for other. Another 18% said don't know. Of course, if you voted for other, do comment on the poll as well to let us know what other political reforms we need.
Now, we'll be continuing to cover that poll throughout the show. Now, but that said, in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Thomas Daniel, Fellow of Foreign Policy and Security Studies at ISIS Malaysia, on Malaysia's position on asylum seekers from Myanmar. And in that right now, we're talking about the reopening of schools. Parents of school-going children unleashed a tirade against the Ministry of Education when it announced last week that schools will reopen in stages from the 1st of March.
Yes, I really empathize with parents. So some of the complaints that were received include the concern that students might be exposed to the virus, especially since the daily figure of positive cases still remain quite high, actually in four digits. Other parents are frustrated that they had to scramble to equip their children with digital devices for the PDPR, the ministry's home-based teaching and learning program, only for their children to return to schools in 2 weeks' time. So, in light of this announcement, I think opposition lawmakers have also called on the government to have teachers and school staff vaccinated as soon as possible.
While some parents remain conflicted over whether they should send their children back to school, others are hoping that this will be at the last of school closures and reopenings this year. And sharing her thoughts with us on this dilemma parents are facing is Datin Nur Azima Abdul Rahim, chairperson of the Parents Action Group for Education. Datin Azima, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, many parents are up in arms over the MOE's decision to reopen schools. Do you think more lead time should have been given for them to prepare?
No, I don't think so, because I think we were all more or less quite ready to start school, you know, because we were already supposed to start in January and that didn't happen. So I think it was sufficient. Of course, we can't please all parents, all schools, all neighborhoods and all households have its challenges. If you come from a comfortable home and each sibling has a device and online learning has been, you know, perfect, then it's all right to stay at home. But I think the majority of students don't enjoy this comfort and luxury. And a lot of students need to go back to school because their parents can't stay home anymore. They too have to, you know, go out and find work, especially those who are on daily wage. It's a matter of just planning it. And then the parent themselves decide whether it's safe for the child to go to school. And I think on the part of the education ministry, make it optional. Don't make it compulsory.
So online learning has forced parents to quickly equip their children with digital devices. But what happens now that students are expected back at school? Do you think that digital devices should be incorporated into physical classes?
I think parents have to look at the future, you know, because devices actually enhances learning. If you go to school, you only learn or you only catch what the teacher is saying in front of the school. But with devices, you can always enhance that learning. And if you're in a classroom without a device, you are hampered by learning more or knowing more. For instance, you know, your teacher's talking about fossils. You don't know what a fossil is. You can quickly go in, look for the definition, look for images of what fossils mean. So at that point in time, as your teacher is speaking, you're already learning more on your own. So you're moving to become an independent learner, you know, rather than rely 100% on your teacher. I think devices actually help students learn more than what is expected of them.
I think parents are rather concerned if their children may be exposed to, you know, being infected by COVID-19. So there are calls for teachers and school staff to be given priority in the vaccination program to protect themselves and the students. What do you think?
Well, I think now that we have enough vaccinations coming our way, there's no reason why teachers should not be given the first dose in the first phase. And even if you talk about danger, I think WHO has come out to say that the rate of infectivity of students in school is only 0.026%, which is almost negligible. And I think the infectivity is not in school, but everywhere else outside school. So even if parents, you know, ensure that their children are in school, can they ensure that the children follow SOPs outside school? I think this is more important, you know. I think MKN has said that vaccinations are optional anyway. MOH can decide, and we're all for it, but let the teacher decide whether they want to be vaccinated.
Tatiana Azima, do you think a blanket ban for school closure should be continued, or should state education departments or perhaps even the schools themselves be given the autonomy to decide that?
I think, first of all, the education ministry has to decide, and then it's up to the schools to have last word. Because again, each school differs from each other, and looking at the past, school leaders aren't going to make decisions on their own without the education ministry giving support, you know. So they will still wait for the instruction from the education ministry. So I think education ministry at the same time also does not make its own decision. It still depends on what Ministry of Health and MKN says. So if the MOH and MKN say this, there's nothing that they can do anything about. They still have to fall back on these two authorities. But if it says open, with the blessings of MOH and MKN, then I think it's up to the schools whether to open or otherwise. And I think schools should open, because there is so much learning that is being lost. You know, we don't know what's going on in homes. Not all homes are comfortable. There may be, you know, issues of mental health, mental abuse, neglect, even food insecurity that we don't know about. And for many students, school is a haven for them.
But just going back to your earlier point, Tatiana Azima, about how children should return to school because they lack the resources to learn at home, there are also concerns over excessive screen time that might be affecting children's mental health, and separately, the potential exposure to the virus if kids go back to school. It's a tough decision to make. I mean, what advice do you have for parents?
It's a great, great big balancing act for parents, you know. They have to weigh between the benefits and the risks. And I think at this point, there's more benefit going to school than otherwise. But I think at the same time, the schools themselves have to adjust their timetable so that, you know, only core subjects are given focus, and then you can cut down the non-core subjects, you know, and then maybe even shorten school time so that you reduce exposure of students to each other. You know, I think parents should not expect a status quo, but there should be adjustments to accommodate the situation.
What's key here is the SOPs. So how else can schools better prepare this time round in ensuring a safe and secure environment for its students?
I think the teachers need to give parents assurance that SOPs will be adhered to, because I think when school reopened last year for a while, there were still some uncertainties, and implementation of the SOPs were questionable. For instance, one teacher would tell her students, when I take off my mask, you put on your mask. When I put on my mask, you can take off your mask in class. You know, that is a blatant disregard of the SOP already. So the teacher herself did not understand the SOP. So I think teachers and school leaders need to be refresh as to what SOPs should be. And at this point in time, I think specific persons in school should be responsible for ensuring the SOPs are followed. Because at the moment, I think everybody is expected to follow the SOP, but no specific person is there to ensure that it is enforced 100%. So I think maybe some selected, you know, warga sekolah in the school should be made responsible and accountable. And these are the persons you go to should there be an infected case.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Datin. That was Datin Noor Azima Abdul Rahim, Chairperson for the Parent Action Group for Education. After this, we're going to be talking about Clubhouse and whether it's the future of social media or just a fad. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.